This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
One of your close brothers, he does something wrong. This will harm him in this life and in the next. You have two choices, either give him advice or leave him alone and keep that friendship. What will you do? We'll find out shortly, inshallah. So stay tuned. Praise is due to Allah, we praise Him, we seek His aid, and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evils of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can misguide, and whomsoever Allah misguides, none can guide. And I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone, who has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. Dear viewers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to a new episode of your show, For the Sake of Allah. We are still dealing with the rights of brotherhood. As Allah has established brotherhood, this firm bond between the Muslims, and created a better society, Allah clarified to the Muslims the way of maintaining and improving this brotherhood, so it becomes a better one. It is always improving, it is always going forward. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the believers to maintain this kind of bond in order for people to live in tranquility and in order for people to follow the guidance and keep heading towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we have a very important tool that is necessary for the safety of human beings in this life and in the next, and it is important and it is one of the main means in order to maintain good brotherhood and good friendship. And it is a sign of al-Iman in the heart, and it is a sign that one is concerned for his brothers in al-Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified in the Qur'an the way towards success. And He said in the surah that all of us know about, when He said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wal Asr, by time, Innal insana lafi khusr, man is in a state of loss. All human beings are in a state of loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, except for those who have believed and they do righteous deeds. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, and they enjoined one another with the truth. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and they enjoined one another to sticking to patience and perseverance. So from the characteristics and the traits of the believers is that they enjoin the good and they forbid the evil. And this is the way to success. Now this is a very fundamental principle in al-Islam, advice. And we know that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directed the believers to hold on to advice and implement it in the way that is best. And He Himself and His companions set the best way in performing advice. We have today our brothers Muhammad and our brother Abdul Rahman. Now, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, today you see that we have a very beautiful topic in hand. We are going to deal with it, we will discuss it, and we will see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directed us towards it, how he acted upon it, and how his companions did as well, and how this means maintains the Muslim society and brings love and friendship and mutual concern for between brothers. Now, the problem with this issue is that today it is considered to be interference. Or if you are giving advice, some people will think that you are intruding in their own lives. Exactly. It's my private life. Why are you telling me what to do and what not to do? I have a free will. I can do whatever I want. I'm a free man. So why are you intervening in my life? So this attitude is widespread. Have you come across anything like that if you tried to give advice? And what was the impression that you got? How was your reaction to it? Abdul Rahman, go ahead.
I believe that there's an art for giving an advice. And sometimes I see brothers that don't really have this art or give the advice really in a maybe not in a rude way, but in a cold way. Therefore, people won't accept. And the Prophet ﷺ was the most merciful when he gave advice. He was never aggressive. So it's an art in it. Mm-hmm. And usually when you give it in a cold way, you get a reaction, you get refused, you get neglected, or he'll be like, yeah.
Sure.
Whatever.
Yeah, Muhammad, do you have something to add?
One of the items that should be focused on is like, when you give advice, you have to take care where you're giving it and to whom you're giving it. As an example, you should have it not in public.
Very good.
You should take the brother on a side and give him a public.
So that he doesn't feel ashamed.
Yes,
it's very
yes.
good. We will deal, inshallah, with the etiquettes of giving advice. Uh-huh. But I want just to focus on the thing that people mainly deem advice as intervening in their own business.
Exactly.
Yeah, you come to give them advice, they say to you, okay, mind your own business, that's my private life, you have nothing to do with that. That's a natural reaction. And if you try to... Well, it happened to me, myself, and I'm sure that happened to most of us. When you try to give advice, someone will tell you, you're trying to tell me what to do? That's the natural reaction.
Yeah.
This attitude is created from people following their desires. They don't want anyone to tell them that this is wrong and this is not the right. They don't want anyone to tell them the reality of what they are doing. Can you recall any incident where the Prophet ﷺ, he himself gave advice in a good way? There are many examples in the Sunnah, mm-hmm. and he was the best example of that. Does anything come to mind with regards to this?
I remember when this guy, it's in a hadith that yeah. this youngster, mm-hmm. he wanted to commit adultery.
Yeah.
And he came to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam,
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And he was honest. He just said it. He wasn't ashamed. He's like, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to commit adultery. So the Sahaba, they even wanted to hit him, or they were surprised. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, just stay calm. And he told them, would you accept that for your mom? Would you accept that for your aunt, for your sister? Like for the closest woman that you know? He said no. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was calm. He gave this advice. So since that day, the youngster, he said, I will never think about committing adultery, and it's the worst thing, and it's the thing that he hates the most since that day, because of the art and the way and the merciful way that the Prophet ﷺ talked to him.
That's a very good example that we can benefit from, and this is the example we want to follow. So when you give advice, you look at what person you are dealing with, deal with him in the way that is best. The Prophet ﷺ knew that these people, they had a sense of honor. They won't accept those who are related to them, the women, to fall into fornication or zina. So the Messenger ﷺ knew that, and he made use of it in the way that is best, to turn this young man from an evil thing. Now, some people think that giving advice is an optional thing. You can give it, you can leave it. It's mainly the people who are practicing, who are always disturbing people and telling them about advice. You can't do this, this is haram, this is halal. So people generally believe that it is the practicing people who do this, who venture to do that. And, well, as to the rest of the people, they don't have to do it. But the Prophet ﷺ, in the hadith that we narrated earlier in previous episodes, when he said the six rights of the Muslim on his fellow Muslim. We have rights upon others. So one of these rights is that if your brother comes to you to ask for advice, you give it to him. And if you see him in a state where he needs advice, you have to advise him. Let's say someone, one of your friends, he wants to set up a business. He opens a supermarket. Mm-hmm. And he opens that supermarket. Then, because you have some knowledge in business, you see that he's doing something wrong. This is not the right thing that you should do. This will cost you a lot of money, and it might ruin your business. Don't do that. If you are concerned for your brother, your friend, or you have love for him, mm-hmm. what would you do, Muhammad, if you were in that case? Your brother is opening a business and he's doing something that will ruin his business, and you have that knowledge. What would you do?
Of course, I would advise him to direct himself in a profitable business.
Very good.
Sure.
Because you are concerned with him. Yeah. You want
exactly.
What is good for him.
It's a benefit for me too. That's a reward for me.
Very good. Zakallahu khairan. This is it. So you are concerned for your brother, and you should be more concerned when it comes to his, where he's going to end up. Is it paradise or the hellfire?
Exactly. True.
So it is more on you, more obligation upon you. When you see it with regards to matters of the religion. Mm-hmm. He's doing something wrong. You should give him advice. It's your obligation. It is not for you that he accepts your advice. Mm-hmm. Can you remind us of a verse what Allah says to the prophets, or that you know, people don't have to, or you are not responsible for the people who don't follow you? Can anything comes to mind about this from the Quran?
إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ.
Very good. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي. You don't guide the people that you want to guide, the people you love. Mm. It's not within your control. It's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another verse, وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. So all what is upon the messenger, the obligation, is that he clarifies the message. He conveys the message clearly. This is al-balagh al-mubin. So you don't have to get the people to follow you. Mm. All what you have to do is convey the message. Yeah. Give them the advice and leave it. And some scholars, one of the great scholars of our time, Shaykh al-Albani, may Allah have mercy upon him, he said some of his students were giving advice and people weren't listening to them. So he said to them, it is a seed that you are planting. Let it go. Sometimes it takes time, years, then it will come up one day. So always give your advice and leave, and one day the seed will grow up, inshallah. This is from the mercy and from the blessings of giving advice. Now, we know that giving advice is not an easy thing because it has to do with the person's pride. Yeah. You come and tell me what to do, that's not easy. People, sometimes they have an attitude towards that. Now, the Prophet ﷺ clarified to us that the means to maintain our religion and improve ourselves in our religion, in Al-Islam, is advice. When he said the well-known hadith, "Ad-Dinun Nasiha," the religion is. Some people say it's advice, but it is sincerity. It's a more general word. It is sincerity. The people said sincerity to whom? He said to Allah, to His Messenger, to His Book, and to the leaders of the Muslims and the general public of the Muslims, the laymen. Okay. Now we know that sincerity towards Allah, to worship Him alone, sincerity to the Book of Allah, to follow its commandments. Sincerity to the Prophet ﷺ, to follow his example and his sunnah. Sincerity to the people is to give
by giving them advice.
Very good. Give them advice. We give them the advice. Mm-hmm. So, to perfect our religion, we should give advice. This is religion. So when the Prophet ﷺ was asked about nasiha, he was asked, is nasiha from the religion of Islam? Is giving advice from the religion of Islam? The Prophet ﷺ said, it is the whole of the religion. Why? Because without advice, people would fall into evil, no one giving them advice, evil becomes widespread and the religion disappears. So now we have come to know, to see how advice has a high position in the religion of Al-Islam. And the Prophet showed us the etiquettes of giving advice. Inshallah, we will see examples at the time. And the Muslim shouldn't be proud and arrogant not to accept advice. We should accept advice from anyone. The advice comes to us from him. We should take that advice from him and be humble enough to take the truth from whomever it comes. We will see, inshallah, examples, and we will try to learn from them and benefit from them. So we want to contemplate on our advice and how high the position is, and we want to try to implement it in our everyday life and to improve our society and improve this world in general. Now, we will have to stop to have a short break. And after that, we will return and carry on discussing the issue of advice and how important it is. And we say to our viewers, stay tuned.
Ask Hoda.
Dear brothers and sisters, welcome to a new edition of Ask Huda.
I have two questions.
Please go ahead. You can read it in Arabic and you can also understand the meaning in your own language. The different tafsir and the interpretation of the meanings of the Quran are available in almost every language that exists on earth by the grace of Allah. The water of Zamzam is for whatever intention you drink it with. Salih from Egypt, his father has the way, and he asks about how can he help him. Very good question.
Can we give a zakat to any of the dawah centers?
The ibadah, or the act of worship, is a part of the unity of worship. It has to be paid to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in accordance with the guidance of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. Now we saw how the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to us the high position of advice and how it strengthens the bond of brotherhood amongst the Muslims. Because if you are concerned for your brother, you would give him advice. But the advice shouldn't be a means to seeking revenge or making the person look in a bad situation. Okay? So it should be done sincerely for the sake of Allah. It is an act of worship. We do it for Allah alone. So your intention is for Allah. Otherwise, it will be rejected. And it will bring enmity and dissension among the brothers. Now, the Prophet ﷺ, on the other hand, taught us how to be humble enough to accept the advice, regardless whoever it comes from. Maybe it will come to you from your child. It will come to you from a young man, a person who is less than you in knowledge. You have to accept that, because the Muslim always seeks that which is good. Whoever it comes from, it doesn't make a difference. I will take it. If it's in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah, it brings me closer to paradise, I'll take that. Alhamdulillah. This is the Muslim. And even the Prophet sometimes he would accept the advice even from sometimes disbelievers or people of other religions. He would just take that. They're non-Muslims, they don't believe in Allah and the Prophet wasallam, but he would take advice. Why? Because as it is said, wisdom and truth is what the Muslim seeks. Whoever it comes from, he takes it. We don't look at the person, but we take it. And have you come across stories or incidents from the Prophet ﷺ when he took advice, even from people who are not really qualified to give advice, but when that was the truth, he would take it. Muhammad, have you come across anything like that?
Yeah, sure. Well, a bishop from the Jews came up to the Nabi ﷺ and told him that you Muslims are good people, but you do shirk. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Subhanallah, how's that? So the bishop said that they say, وَرَبُّ الْكَعْبَ وَبِالْكَعْبَ. Sorry.
Okay. So they used to swear by the Kaaba. They say by the Kaaba.
By the Kaaba.
Okay.
So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that we should say, وَرَبُّ الْكَعْبَ. By the Lord of the Kaaba, not بِالْكَعْبَ, by the Kaaba. And also the bishop told the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Muslims are good and they associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Subhanallah, how is that? So he said that we say that, Muslim says that, they say, يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ وَمَا تَشَاءُ. What Allah wants and what you want. So the Nabi said that we should say that مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ, what Allah wants, then what you want.
MashaAllah.
MashaAllah وَمَا شَاءَ.
This is a beautiful
example. ثُمَّ مَا شَاءَ.
So the Prophet ﷺ accepted the advice
of a Jew.
Of a Jew.
Yeah.
And we know that the Jews, they were in enmity with the Muslims and they weren't happy with the Prophet ﷺ. They hated him. They wanted to kill him. But still, when the advice came to him, he took that because he saw that it was truth. And the truth, so he took it.
Yeah.
We don't need the person. We are not taking the person. We're taking the truth from him. That's all. And we leave the person. His enmity, his hatred, he will keep that for himself. But we will take the truth. That's a very good example. Abdul Rahman, have you come across
that? Yeah, this other similar story. There's one of the Sahaba, Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. He was a guardian for the zakat, the money of the zakat.
Yeah.
And one of these nights, he caught a man trying to steal.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, he told him, I'm going to take you to the messenger of Allah. So awesome. He told him, please forgive me. I'm poor. I have a family. So he told him, okay. He let him go. And he went to the Prophet ﷺ and he told him the story. And the Prophet ﷺ told him, he's going to come again.
Mm-hmm.
So the second night, the same stuff happens. So he goes to the Prophet and tells him he's going to come again. So the third night, actually, he comes again. And So he tells him, okay, this time, for real, I'm going to take you to the Prophet So he was like, okay, I'm going to give you a piece of advice and you leave me. He's like, okay, what do you have for me? He's like, read Ayat al-Kursi, Surah al-Kursi, before you sleep, and Allah is going to protect you from all kind of evils. So he went and he told to the Prophet ﷺ, and he told him, yeah, that was Iblis, that was the devil, and he gave you this advice. Yeah. And of course he took it.
SubhanAllah.
So SubhanAllah, the worst enemy of humanity, worst enemy, not enemy, gave he took from him advice.
SubhanAllah.
So that means we could learn from anyone.
That's a good example. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that we go around to people who are known for their deviation and their messed up mentality, because sometimes this is contagious. But if it happens that the truth comes to you by means of a person who is an enemy to you, but this is the truth, we take it. It doesn't mean you go to people who have problems and they don't really have a proper understanding of Islam, because sometimes it becomes contagious and you might get affected. So, but if the truth, as we said, comes to you, then I accept it, because the Muslim is a seeker of truth. You know, I've come across a beautiful story one day from the history of the Muslims. You know, Al-Fustat is in Egypt, and it used to be a place for the people of knowledge. Now, there was a well-known scholar there called Al-Jawhari. One day, another scholar, who's less than him in knowledge, he was traveling, and he remained in Al-Fustat for a couple of days. The other scholar's name was Muhammad ibn Abi al-Qasim. He was a traveler. He came to Al-Fustat and he went to the masjid to listen to this great scholar Al-Jawhari, who was well known for his knowledge. He said, I would sit there and benefit from him. He went in his masjid and he was giving a lesson, a dars. And he said that the Prophet ﷺ made talaq, divorce, and he made ila. Ila is to say to your wife that I'm not going to have any relation with you for 3 days or 4 days or a certain period of time. And the Prophet ﷺ made dhihar. Dhihar means that you say to your wife, you are like my mother to me. And Allah referred to al-dhihar, the third thing in Al-Quran, as munkaran min al-qawli wa zura, as an evil statement, and a false statement, and a lie. So one shouldn't say it. So this Al-Jawhari, great scholar, said that the Prophet ﷺ did the three of them. He made divorce, and he made ila, and he made dhihar. So this is another scholar. He's sitting, and he said, well, that's not true. But he didn't stand up in a harsh way, and he said to him, no, that's wrong, you don't have knowledge, as some people do today, no. He remained silent until he finished his lesson. And he has so many students. Then that was the habit of that scholar. He would take the people to his house, give them food, and they would stay with him for some time, ask him, benefiting from him, then they would leave. So he said, I went with the people, this Muhammad ibn Qasim, the traveler. I went with the people to his house, we sat in his house, and he was speaking to the people. Then people started to leave. Then he saw me and he recognized I was a stranger. So he said to me, you have something to say to me? I said, yes. So he said to the people, please leave because I want to speak to that man. People left and we sat down together. I said to him, you said that the Prophet ﷺ made divorce, that was true. And you said he made ila, that was true. And you said he made dhihar, that wasn't true. The Prophet ﷺ never made dhihar. And Allah is saying it is an evil statement. And the Prophet ﷺ is infallible. Allah protected him from all sin. So how can you say that? So this is wrong. So he said, he kissed me between my eyes, on my forehead. And he gave me a warm hug. And he said, you are my brother in Islam. You are a sincere brother. You are giving me advice. Jazakallahu khairan. And I acknowledge that I made a mistake. Jazakallahu khairan. You see how the good ethics, how Islam teaches the people to accept the knowledge. And you can see it made them closer. He hugged him and he kissed him on his forehead, saying to him, Jazakallah khairan, you are my brother. He recognized that he is sincere and he wants good for him. He said, the next day, I went to the masjid to attend his lesson again. When he saw me, he said to the people, open a way for my teacher. This is my teacher. You know, yesterday I told you that the Prophet ﷺ made dhihar. That was wrong. And he came to me and he gave me sincere advice and I take it from him. So this is my teacher, and he put him on his chair. He put him in his place. You see how, this is how we Muslims should take advice. Someone gives you advice, don't be arrogant and reject it. Take it and benefit from it. And we can take a beautiful lesson from this story, is that he didn't give him the advice in public. As you mentioned at the very beginning of this episode. Don't give advice in public. Let the person maintain his honor. Don't break his reputation or speak to, give him advice in front of people. That's sometimes it's taken by some people as a slight to honor.
And
so yeah,
I also recall the story. It's a nice story.
Yeah.
There was this young guy.
Yeah.
He saw a old guy, old person doing wudu in a wrong way. So he didn't want to talk to him because the old person will feel that his pride is getting. So he brought a little kid and he made him do wudu in front of the old person.
MashaAllah.
So that the old person sees the real wudu. And that was his way of giving him advice.
That's a clever way. And it is in accordance with the sunnah. So one should give advice without doing that in public. Don't do that in public. Give advice to the person without doing that in public. Another thing, when that man gave advice to the scholar who made the mistake, he started first by saying, you mentioned so many beautiful things. You said this and you said that. That's true. But as to that thing, this is wrong. So it's a good thing that we can benefit from. When you give someone advice, start mentioning the good things in his character, the good things he did, and then so that you establish a relationship between you and him, and after that you give him the advice so that he takes it favorably. He takes it with appreciation. He says, Jazakallahu khairan, you gave me advice. So when we give advice to someone, then let's start with mentioning the good points, the good things he has or she has. This is a good way to make them take the advice. And another thing that we can do, you can show the person that you are concerned for him. Mm. I'm concerned for you. This is why I'm giving you advice. And the Muslim in return, he has to accept the advice. And the importance of the advice is, as we saw in that example, brings the people closer. Brings the people closer. Do you have some kind of advice you would like to give generally in terms of accepting advice, taking it from the people? Shortly, we have a few seconds, so any thing in terms of accepting advice?
Well, actually, it has to be with knowledge.
Very good. Jazakallah.
You can't give advice like that.
We have to have knowledge when you give advice. So, you don't give the person the wrong advice. Yeah. But now, alhamdulillah, we have come to see through the examples you mentioned and the things that we have dealt with, that advice, if it's done correctly, it's a means to bring the people closer, have more mutual love, and have a better society. We save the people from falling into evil. We direct them to the straight path. They seek nearness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how the Muslim community and society should be. Helping one another. Giving advice to one another. This is how we want to be. And this is how we want the Muslim society to be. And our viewers, inshallah, to implement this beautiful etiquette. And so that will bring friendship and love amongst one another. We have a better society and we have, inshallah, a better world when people come to know about Islam and appreciate it and accept it and abide by that. So inshallah, we have a better society and a better world. And we, inshallah, earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I thank my brothers who were very helpful, inshallah, to clarify this beautiful concept. And I say to our viewers, Jazakumullahu khairan for your patience. And may Allah guide all of us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.